This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Another excellent choice to open the show from Jed Marshall. That's how you start a Sunday. That, for me, that's how you get a Sunday going. I'm excited now. I was excited driving in, but now I'm excited, especially with the Ryder Cup going and Team USA has a rally going. Update you on that in a second. By the way, this is Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can also listen to the app, 810WHB.com. Jed Marshall is running the show today. We are broadcasting live in the Rally House studios. And we have a great guest lineup for you today once again. Coming up at 9:25, Howard Richmond, our good friend from the Golf Course Superintendents Association. He edits their magazine. He's covered a lot of golf over the decades for the Kansas City Star in a previous work experience. And Howard always joins us when we have big golf tournaments, when we have shows. So Howard will join us. Team USA is rallying, and it's big. You woke up this morning and Team Europe was leading Team USA 10-6 going into the singles matches. And we'll get in-depth on this with Howard, but I'm just updating you. So it was 10-6 this morning. Singles matches, you're thinking, oh boy. And Team USA did not come out strong. But the rally is on. Right now, Europe, 10.5 points. USA, 9.5 points. USA, 1 point back. But USA doesn't have to win as many points because they're the defending champion. So the early round, I'll just give you the four early one-on-one matchups. Justin Thomas over Rory McIlroy, one up. Webb Simpson taking on Justin Rose, who's been fantastic in the Ryder Cup. Webb Simpson wins 3-2. That's not close. Brooks Koepka and Paul Casey halved, so that's a half a point. You'll take that. Paul Casey's been good. Not fantastic. I like him, though. Seems like a good dude. And the match of the morning so far, if you're a Team USA fan, Tony Finau, who I really like. Tony Finau has been terrific all year. Head-to-head with Tommy Fleetwood, who could have been the player of the tournament. Unless, you know, Francesco Molinari runs it again. So Tony Finau just destroyed Tommy Fleetwood, 6-4. So they were done with four holes to play. Team USA back in it, down just one. I won't give the in progress yet because we'll talk about this down the road with Howard Richmond at 9:25. At 10 o'clock, our friend of the show, Allie Trost, will join us. Allie covers Sporting KC for the Blue Testament, does a great job, and Sporting KC has a... You call it a huge game? Yeah. The playoffs are on the line today. I mean, securing a playoff spot. It's not like if Sporting loses, they're out. If they win, if Sporting KC gets a win against Real Salt Lake at Children's Mercy Park at 4 o'clock, Sporting KC is back in the playoffs for a club record 8th consecutive season. Sporting KC expecting a huge crowd out of Children's Mercy Park. By the way, if you can't get to the stadium, you can watch it. It's on Fox Sports 1, or you can listen to it on two of our sister stations here, ESPN 94.5 FM or ESPN 1510 AM. I think Nate Bucati will have that, right? He'll be on the call there.
Nate will have
the call. As always.
It will be scrumptious!
I love when they play that on the Border Patrol in the morning.
I don't know where Jake has that hidden. I'd like to find it, but I don't know
it's
where
great.
It is.
Nate does a great job. Nate's fun to listen to. I mean, I've broadcast a lot of soccer games over the years. Nate is really intelligent about the game. He's really good. So we'll talk about Sporting KC at 10 o'clock with Allie Trost. At 11, our friend of the program, Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com will join us. No Chiefs on Sunday, no problem. That's my theme for the show today because we're going to still talk Chiefs and Monday Night Football in Denver, Mile High Stadium. I don't know what their sponsor is right now. I really don't care. I'm never going to call it anything but Mile High. They don't pay me to say the sponsor's name, so whatever. So Matt Derrick, at 11 o'clock, will get us jazzed about the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Monday Night Football. And if you watched any of the national shows this week, whether on ESPN or NFL Network or Fox, it's all Patrick Mahomes all the time. Although he's getting competition now after what Jared Goff did on Thursday night. Jared Goff of the Rams. And now I'm looking even more forward to the Chiefs-Rams game in Mexico City in October. You could have, at that time, two leading candidates for their respective leagues' MVP awards. Could. Jared Goff in the NFC, Patrick Mahomes in the AFC. Still a lot of football to be played, but that's a possibility. So Matt Derrick at 11 o'clock talking Chiefs football. At 11:30, the return of one of our favorite segments, Jedlines. Seren Petro endorsed many times. That's where Jed Marshall, our producer, comes up with stories. Either it could be from sports.
Come up with these stories. You know, they're real stories.
They're real stories. You dig up. How about that?
Yes. There's okay. A lot of research that goes
yes.
into this.
So we have stories from sports or entertainment, you know, movies, music. We've done politics once or twice. We may stay away from that this week.
I try and stay away from that as much as possible.
I did say, and I don't hardly ever comment on politics on the show. It's just not my thing.
Oh, gosh. Where are you going here?
A casual observation. Actually, it's not an observation. It's what was said. I never thought I would hear George Brett and the Kansas City Royals come up during a Supreme Court nomination hearing. Judge Kavanaugh was asked about these calendars that he has and was asked about some date. And he goes, yeah, I bought a bunch of tickets to the Red Sox game for me and my friends, and we went and we saw George Brett and the Kansas City Royals. And I had it on in the background, you know, like passively listening. I was doing other stuff, other work, so I wasn't really paying attention to everything that was going on. But I was like, whoa, George Brett and the Kansas City Royals just came up during testimony in a Supreme Court nomination. I'm not going to talk about anything else, but that's relevant to Kansas City. Okay.
I don't know if the Royals want that on their resume.
Well, it was brought up. I perked up. I was like, okay.
Anyways, moving along. How about those college football games?
College football, yes. And by the way, recommendation for you, Jed Marshall, if you did not watch Saturday Night Live last night.
I got bits and pieces of it.
If you saw Adam Driver's sketch where he's the old oil baron who comes to his son's classroom to talk about his job on career day. Freaking hilarious. I was laughing out loud at 11:30, 11:40 last night watching that. Adam Driver is really funny. And he was playing a serious character, and he never broke character, which happens a lot on Saturday Night Live. So that's my recommendation for you. Go find that skit. All right, college football. Do you want to start with K-State or do you want to start with Kansas? Because Missouri had the bye week, so we don't have any.
Let's start
there.
With Missouri, then. Great performance. Nobody getting hurt.
UMKC, how did our ruse do yesterday?
I don't know. They follow me on Twitter. I want to know who created that account. I got to meet Conrad McGorkin. But anyways, no, let's start with Kansas. I think there's less to unpack
there. Let's start
there.
With Kansas. And yet another loss. And I'm getting a Jesse Newell's article up here. Kansas losing 48-28 to Oklahoma State. Nothing real surprising about that, okay? But there are some important things and some things that were said after the game and things that were not said after the game from KU head coach David Beatty. So in this loss to Oklahoma State, 48-28, KU started Carter Stanley at quarterback. All right, we're on the carousel again. We're back to the Montel Cozart, Ryan Willis, Carter Stanley days from 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, whatever it was. We're back to that again. So Carter Stanley gets a start, and I agree. I think Nate Buchady said this on the Border Patrol this week. He didn't understand why Carter Stanley wasn't starting anyway from day one. So Carter Stanley gets the start, has the best starting performance by a KU quarterback this season. I mean, it wasn't anything out of this world, but it was solid quarterback play. The kid did not throw an interception. Through, how is it? 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Carter Stanley. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's clear to me. It should be clear to Kansas football fans. It should be clear to anybody who watches college football. Carter Stanley is the better quarterback. Okay, that's just my opinion. My observation is that Carter Stanley is the better quarterback. And to me, after seeing that against Oklahoma State, I really don't think it's that close. I mean, Miles Kendrick couldn't play. His shoulder was hurt, apparently. So if he's eligible to come back next week or able to come back, maybe that changes the dynamic again. But for me, after that game, I'm thinking Carter Stanley should be the starting quarterback of the Kansas football team. So here's David Beatty's thoughts after the game, and I'm reading from Jesse Newell's excellent article in the Kansas City Star. Jesse's the best. So after the game, David Beatty didn't want to talk about it. Did not want to talk about the KU situation. Quote, this is David Beatty talking about Carter Stanley. Quote, I thought he did some good things, but not enough. We still made some mistakes and errors that cost us. Got us off the field early in some drives. We've got to do better. Also went on and on about how he has to look at the tape first. Another quote from David Beatty. It's hard for me to make that assumption without looking at the video. There's a lot of things that we saw that we liked. So, again, Carter Stanley, Miles Kendrick, Peyton Bender, they have decisions to make. David Beatty goes on. I don't look at it as a number one, number two, and number three quarterback. I know maybe that's semantics, but Carter's skill set fit what we needed against Oklahoma State, and we trusted him because he's prepared well, Beatty said. And it wasn't anything against Peyton. He's prepared well, too. That means nothing. That was a nothing burger quote. To say that Carter Stanley was well prepared, but so was the other guy. So was Peyton Bender. Okay, then what did you just say there? They were both prepared. Can you not just say we prefer Carter Stanley right now? So is this going to be a week-to-week thing? Yep, absolutely. David Beatty again, quote, you're not going to bait me into that right now, brother. And that David Beatty says brother a lot. That's his natural speaking style. Man, that's some big dudes over there, brother. So I'm exaggerating. I'm in the inflection a little bit, okay? You're not going to bait me into that right now, brother. Listen, I've got to look at the tape. I mean, we're not talking about the quarterback anymore, so no more questions about that. Let's go to something else. The quarterback is the biggest story for the Kansas football team, and the coach doesn't want to talk about it. Thinks he's being baited into something that's controversial.
Nah, talk Puka Williams.
Puka Williams is fine. He's a terrific young man. Player. I don't know what he's like as a young man. As a player, he's been terrific. Great. He's a freshman. Great career ahead of him at Kansas if he stays 4 years. We don't want to talk about the quarterback? The biggest story on your football team after Carter Stanley? Had the best start of any KU quarterback this season. And believe me, I understand. The bar's not all that high. I get it. Three touchdowns, no interceptions, 28 points on the board. Sounds good to me. I don't see the controversy. I don't see the coach being baited into something that's controversial other than protecting the other quarterbacks on the team. I get that. If you want to protect the quarterback, just say, hey, you know, Carter Stanley played a great game. Give us your analysis. But to just say I won't be baited and I'm not talking about it anymore? This sounds like a coach who still doesn't have the answers. This was the problem when they had the Bishop Miege kids. When they had Montel Cozart and Ryan Willis. David Beatty couldn't settle on a quarterback. Yanking guys in and out during the game. Changing starters from one game to another. What happened? Montel Cozart had enough. Transferred to Boise State, played on a really good team, started a few games, wasn't always the starter, played in a bowl game and got a bowl ring. Montel Cozart. And he'll never say a bad word about Kansas. He loves Kansas. He comes back. He visits all the time. What happened to Ryan Willis? He lost his confidence. Decided he needed a change of pace, went to Virginia Tech. Sat out last year. Been on the bench for the first three games this season. Lost to Old Dominion last week. The starter at Virginia Tech got hurt. Ryan Willis got the chance to start last night at Duke. Okay, you can laugh and say Duke football isn't that big.
Ranked
deep.
Number 21,
ranked.
Duke.
Ranked. Duke is ranked. And they have a really good football coach. Is it Cunningham? I believe is his name. They have a good football program. It's not great. They're not going to play for national championships in football. But they're good. Ryan Willis, three touchdown passes and over 330 yards passing. But we don't want to talk about quarterbacks at Kansas. Don't bait me into that. Good gravy. It's the one thing that everybody's talking about. convince your fans that you know who the best quarterback is. You had all offseason. You had spring football. You had the workouts going into the season to figure out who the best quarterback is and play the best quarterback. Four games in, Kansas still doesn't have an answer. I do. I think it's Carter Stanley. But that's me. I don't have to coach the football team. I don't have to suffer the consequences if Carter Stanley goes out next week and doesn't play well. I'm just telling you what I saw. Carter Stanley, the best quarterback performance of the season for Kansas. And the coach doesn't know if he wants to play him or start him next week. Good luck. Kansas not alone with indecision at quarterback. K-State joins them as well. Alex Delton got the start yesterday against Texas. Texas hasn't won in Manhattan in, what, 16, 17 years? Been a long time. Alex Delton, the starter for the first half, K-State was going nowhere. Doing nothing. Second half, make the change. Skylar Thompson is in. K-State puts points on the board. Offense looked better, and they made it close. Now, Sam Mellinger, the Kansas City Star, wrote an outstanding column last night that was posted, and I encourage you to read it. It's on his Twitter account, at Mellinger, talking about Bill Snyder and where we are with the program right now, and a lot of it surrounding yesterday's, the last 2 weeks of quarterback indecision. So, Skylar Thompson comes in. And Sam readily admits, look, it's not just about the quarterback, but it's a big part of it. It's a big part of it. Scored a couple of touchdowns. And as Sam fully says, it's not just about the quarterback in the second half that was different. The offensive line, I'm reading from Sam's column here. The offensive line was markedly better. The defense did not allow a point. There was more energy, fewer mistakes, and if Delton played the second half, perhaps he would have benefited. All these things are true. One man does not completely dictate an outcome. But that's also part of the point. The offense was better with Thompson. Teammates were careful with their words. These are college kids. But several complimented Thompson's ability to identify the right protections. Dalton Schoen, a Kansas City kid, expressed support for both quarterbacks, but said switching back and forth, quote, definitely hurts a little bit from a rhythm standpoint. After the game, Bill Snyder didn't say more than a handful of words about what Skylar Thompson did in the second half. And again, I'm reading from Sam's column. When he was asked about Skylar Thompson and his second half and the two touchdowns, quote from Bill Snyder, quote, I thought he played well. Yeah, he played well. That was the extent of his answer when asked to assess a quarterback who clearly provides a passing threat that Delton lacks. Nice words, though. In response to a later up follow-up question, added that Thompson, quote, did what he was coached to do. That is it. That's the extent of it.
There's a lot to unpack there. Those quotes, man. So telling.
He doesn't want to say something nice about Skylar Thompson, and I have an idea as to why. It goes back to Kellis Robinette, who wrote a story earlier in the week, that in last week's game, when they made the switch from Skylar Thompson to Alex Delton, Bill Snyder made the decision by himself. He told Alex Delton and nobody else. He didn't tell his assistant coaches. He didn't tell Skylar Thompson. Skylar Thompson was putting his helmet on last week to go back in. Alex Delton runs out. Whoa. So if you take last week, Bill Snyder making the decision, and according to Kellis Robinette's article, this went against what his assistant coaches would have preferred to do, which is keep Skylar Thompson in the game. So somebody in the program is leaking out this information, and Kellis did a great job of rounding it up. This tells me, based on the quotes from last night, where Bill Snyder couldn't bother to say more than a handful of words about Skylar Thompson, and going back to last week when he replaced Skylar Thompson without telling anybody, I don't know if Bill Snyder likes Skylar Thompson.
I'm actually there with you. I think it might be Bill Snyder being stubborn and it being one of those things where what is it that Bill Snyder's most known for? His attention to detail and the system and everything like that. maybe Skylar Thompson's one of these guys who doesn't have his socks pulled up the right way or whatever. And Bill Snyder, he's going to be 79 here in a few days.
Right.
I hate to say it, he's kind of a crotchety old man. Maybe this kid doesn't do things exactly the way that Bill Snyder wants them done, so he's holding a grudge and being stubborn.
I think you're right. I think Bill Snyder thinks, Alex Delton was my quarterback last week. I made the decision. I didn't tell anybody because that's what I want to do. And this week, it didn't work out in the first half, and he had to concede. And maybe that was ego bruising. I don't know.
And I also think that at a certain level, we always talk about Bill Snyder and how long he can continue to coach. How long is he able to connect with young men? I mean, 60 years age difference is a real thing. I mean, what is it? Do you think Bill Snyder's talking to the kids about Fortnite?
No.
Do you think he knows what Fortnite is?
No.
Right.
Well, in Sam Mellinger's piece, and I don't have enough time to go into further details here, but Sam Mellinger, in his piece, which is fantastic, examines the problems around K-State and the future of the program and how there are problems with that as well, because rarely does a legendary football coach exit in what everybody would consider a great way. It's ugly all the way around. So I encourage you to read Sam Mellinger's piece. It's well-written, well-thought-out, and it's not... I'm sure Sam didn't go over to Manhattan yesterday with the idea, I'm going to write a column against Bill Snyder. No. Sam's a very thoughtful guy. And this column he wrote makes people uncomfortable. And that's good, to examine things that maybe we talk about in the parking lot or the tailgate or the office at the coffee machine or whatever. Bill Snyder, I think, is losing it. Sam will talk about the things we're all talking about, but no one wants to put their name on publicly. And it's a very well-written piece, so I encourage you to read it.
A little shout-out for the boys in the morning, Monday through Friday. Melly should be in, I would assume, tomorrow. Or he'll probably be on the phone out in Denver covering the game.
Oh, could be, yeah.
But on the Border Patrol, normally in the 8 to 9 hour.
Yep.
So shout-out for the boys.
And we're coming up on a break here, so I can't go into the Royals from last night, but it was awesome. Alberto Mondesi is, right now, a star. So we'll get into that maybe later in the show. We'll recap that because it's been fun the last month watching the Royals. All right, quick timeout. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Allie Trost from the Blue Testament talking Sporting KC. At 11 o'clock, Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com talking Monday Night Football. Coming up next, 9:25, Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association talking Ryder Cup. The USA is in rally mode in Paris. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
When I get off of this mountain, you know where I want to go.
Jed, you ought to do that thing. I think you did it a few weeks ago where you post all the music you play during the show, like a list.
Okay. I can do that.
It's good stuff. Because usually by the time I get home, I'll forget. But it's all good stuff. It's great stuff.
Thank you. I pride myself on picking good music. I don't just play crap. I'm not going to play Miley Cyrus for like a bump.
Oh,
back.
No?
No, probably not. I mean, unless there's a reason to.
No. Please, no. No. This is Sports Sunday, by the way. We like our music here on Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We're live in the Rally House studios. Watching some Ryder Cup action, which started at 5 a.m. today. I think every other day this week it was like 2 a.m. starts.
Yeah, I thought 4 a.m. So yeah. I set the alarm, knew I had to be at work early. I'm like, all right, I'll get up a little early and watch the golf. Nope. Turns out infomercials are on at 4 a.m. Yes. On Channel 41 at 4 a.m. on Sunday.
One thing I like about the 2 a.m. starts and then the 5 a.m. today is every commercial break has a beer commercial. I won't say the name of the company in case we may have a sponsorship with them. I don't know. But it's on every break, and the song, the jingle, is just driving me insane. If your jingle is, yes, we like beer, isn't that kind of the whole point? You need to tell us what's special about what you have. Anyway, I digress. Howard Richmond from the Golf Course Superintendents Association joins us now. A longtime writer for the Kansas City Star, covered many, many golf tournaments over the years and has been around the world. Howard, how do you feel about beer commercials at 2 o'clock in the morning watching Ryder Cup?
Oh, I was probably watching an old rerun of Saved by the Bell on MTV or whatever, MeTV, MTV, I don't know, whatever.
Well, I love the Ryder Cup. My favorite tournaments are the Open Championship, the British Open, and the Ryder Cup. I just love the atmospheres, and also hat tip to the Phoenix Open because their crowds are awesome too. But the Ryder Cup, the fans, whether it's played in Europe or the U.S., the fans are crazy. The fans are loud. They're cheering every single shot. It's like being at a baseball game or a football game or something like that, and everybody's into it. And, you know, the Europeans become friends for a week, and the USA players become friends for a week. But this week, the first 2 days, Friday and Saturday, were absolutely demoralizing to watch if you're a fan of the United States. Howard, I'll just start with a simple question. What in the heck happened?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it just hasn't come together. I mean, there's been, you know, a few bright spots throughout. But I mean, on Friday, when, what was it, 3 of the 4 U.S. pairings never led.
Right.
In the matches. I mean, Phil, DeChambeau were down 7 after 9 holes. It just really was, yikes. I mean, not good. I think Europe set a record in the afternoon that day for play the first, what, fewest holes, number of holes in a match, 60 total.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they just kind of dominated, and I don't know. Yeah, it hasn't been pretty. You know, the U.S. has made a nice little comeback this morning, but I think that's kind of like Tigers look. They've run out of gas.
Right. Yeah, I was just checking the updated leaderboard. So Europe now leads 12.5 to 9.5, and I believe the U.S. needs 14, correct, to retain the cup?
Correct, right.
So they've got a long way to go. They got wins. Team USA got wins this morning from Tony Finau, who destroyed Tommy Fleetwood. Brooks Koepka halved with Paul Casey. Webb Simpson, impressive. Took out Justin Rose, 3-2. Justin Thomas took out Rory, 1-up. And then you look at Tiger, who just lost 2-1 to Jon Rahm. But the rest of the matches are not going well. Bubba Watson is down by 3. Phil Mickelson is down by 2 to Molinari, who could be the player of the tournament. Dustin Johnson, who's been awful all weekend, is down 2 to Ian Poulter. And there's not a lot. Patrick Reed is the one guy left who's leading for the U.S. I don't think they can close the gap. I was excited about 15 minutes ago, Howard, but I don't think the USA has the firepower left to get it done.
Yeah, right, Brad. I mean, going into this morning, if you would have told me that, you know, Finau would beat Fleetwood and Simpson would beat Justin Rose, I would have thought, boy, okay, you know, we've got a really good chance to win this.
Right.
I mean, those were two I thought, oh, that's probably in Europe's side there. But, yeah, I mean, not enough from elsewhere. I mean, Spieth's going to be having nightmares of Olesen for months probably.
Yep.
I mean, he just got spanked badly today. I mean, that wasn't close from the get-go.
No, when you're done with 4 holes to play, that's a long walk back to the clubhouse or back to waiting for your teammates on 18. But, you know, I've heard this comment several times, not only this Ryder Cup but past Ryder Cups, that the European players are just more into it, especially if it's being played in Europe. They're excited about it. They're enthusiastic. They fist pump constantly. And look, the USA players do that too. Patrick Reed became famous 2 years ago for his celebrations at the Ryder Cup. But is there something to the notions that the European players maybe care a little bit more?
You probably heard Faraday mention that yesterday. He was talking about the most important things over there on that side of the pond is how many majors you've won and your record in the Ryder Cup. And I think over here it hasn't been that way as much. I think the majors maybe, the Ryder Cup, I don't know. You know, it might be good to ask somebody like Tom Watson, who is, by the way, the last captain to win on European soil.
Right.
So, you know, maybe ask Phil Mickelson about that. It's just a big to-do for them over there. And, you know, they really get into it, obviously. I think we do, too. But for some reason, they've got our number when they play on that side.
And we're speaking with Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association. Long time, he wrote for the Kansas City Stars, covered a lot of golf. We're talking Ryder Cup here. And I hate to say the Americans maybe don't have the passion. I mean, when they came up with this committee after the last Ryder Cup, when they got destroyed, what was that, 5 years ago?
When Watson was the captain.
Yeah.
And he got criticized widely for what he was doing.
And Phil Mickelson organized what we're calling the committee and got players, current players as well as former players. We got to redo. We got to rethink everything we do about the Ryder Cup. We got to prepare better. And it worked 2 years ago. But if you're going to examine this Ryder Cup team, the first person you're always going to criticize is the captain, as was what happened with Tom Watson when he was the captain and they lost. So if there's criticism for this captain, Jim Furyk, who I really like, I think he's a super good dude. But having Phil Mickelson on this team was not a good idea. And that's not, I don't think that's all that subjective. I think that's objective. He has not played well the last couple of months. He's barely making cuts. He's finishing towards the bottom in every tournament. And I know he's a sentimental choice. He's played on, 500 Ryder Cup teams. I get that. But he's been terrible in this Ryder Cup. And that's got to come under some criticism for Jim Furyk.
Yeah, I can see your point. And, Phil obviously had his ups and downs this year. It wasn't a good start, played better. I think won a couple times at the end. Not so much. Maybe Furyk just wanted experience. I'm not sure who else you would have put in his place. Xander Schauffele really played well throughout
yes, he
the year.
Did.
He would have been the guy I think
yep.
I probably would have had on there. I think Furyk was relying a lot on experienced players, and that necessarily isn't, a good thing. On the flip side, it was a great story in Golf Digest the other day by John Huggan, who's a great writer overseas, mm-hmm. and he was talking about Thomas Bjorn and how he kind of was focusing on ball position more than he was power with his players. And what I thought was really interesting in the story, he mentioned that Furyk's assistant captain, Zach Johnson and Matt Kuchar, were more accurate off the tee than 11 of the 12 Americans that
wow.
were on this team. So the guy obviously did a ton of homework, not saying that Furyk didn't, but, it just hasn't worked out for him. And you could point to a lot of things. Phil hasn't played well. Tiger, Tiger's looked uncomfortable. I've been uncomfortable watching Tiger this
yes.
whole weekend. They've talked a little about, is he feeling okay and stuff? I just seemed a little slow, and he's had a great year. I mean, what a comeback. And
right.
maybe just ran out of gas after Eastlake. I mean, it looked like, okay, Tiger's going in the Ryder Cup on a high, but think about what he did this year. I mean, mentally and physically, and maybe
right.
he just, was out of juice. I mean, cut him a little slack. I mean, he's had some moments this weekend, but not enough.
We're talking with Howard Richman, Golf Course Superintendents Association, about the Ryder Cup. Right now, the Americans are trailing Team Europe 12.5 to 9.5, and it does not look good for the Americans in the remaining head-to-head matchups. Howard, you mentioned something interesting, and it kind of coincides with what I've been hearing during the broadcast. You mentioned Thomas Bjorn, the European captain, talking about golf ball positioning on, and who are the better hitters. You mentioned Matt Kuchar and the other assistant captain. You just mentioned him, the Iowa kid.
Zach Johnson.
Yeah, Zach Johnson. They're both mm-hmm. better off the tee. And I've heard all the discussion this week about how Europeans always pick a golf course and set it up to suit them and catch the Americans, off guard if you want to. But they figuratively took the drivers out of the hands of the bombers on the American team. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka. I mean, they can all bomb it, but those guys in particular handicap their drivers because the fairways are narrow and the Europeans are more comfortable playing their irons and not hitting at 360 yards.
Right.
Whereas, Dustin Johnson and Koepka want to, just bomb it down the course, and it just didn't work. I mean, how many times have we seen the Americans hitting out of that, what do you call that, straw that's out there? It's nasty, whatever it is.
Yeah, did you see Tiger hitting out of there?
Oh, my
today?
Gosh. Half his iron in half.
Yeah, it was crazy. And, while we're talking about the course, being that I work at GCSAA, shout out to the superintendent, Alejandro Reyes, who I got to meet 2 years ago. He volunteered at Hazeltine for the Ryder Cup, and he's a Spaniard who had to learn French for his interviews to get that job at Le Golf National. So credit to him. The course looks fantastic.
Oh, it looks terrific.
And yeah, he's done a great job. He grew up in Spain. He actually grew up in Almeria, Spain. And here's some trivia for you. That's where John Lennon wrote Strawberry Fields Forever.
Really?
In Almeria, Spain, where Alejandro Reyes grew up. He took agronomy classes when he was like 13, 14 years old. So, and I think the course looks fantastic. But yeah, that rough, if you hit that ball into that and get offline, good luck.
You're getting punished. I heard a good comparison this morning when I was driving in. Somebody said this course looks like a combination of maybe what you'd see at a U.S. Open course, but also with a little bit of the Scottish, English, Irish influence with that long grass. I don't know what kind of grass that is, but I thought that was kind of an apt description of what I'm seeing.
Totally. A little bit of TPC Sawgrass, the
yes.
players, too.
I mean,
fantastic. I mean, yeah, great challenge. And a lot of those European players have played. I mean, the French Open's held there. I think Koepka's probably, since he played over there in Europe for a while, played on that probably more than anybody. But, you know, once you get to know a course, it obviously gives you a little bit of advantage.
We're talking with Howard Richman, Golf Course Superintendent Association, also wrote for the Kansas City Star for a long time, covered golf and, every other sport under the sun, I imagine. Talking Ryder Cup, as Team USA looks like it's going down on the final day at the Ryder Cup. The remaining matches are not going in the USA's favor, outside of Patrick Reed, who's 3-up on Hatton through 11. So in continuing to analyze the roster, and particularly the captain's picks, Phil Mickelson, probably not a great choice. Not probably, it was not a great choice. And you mentioned Tiger Woods perhaps ran out of gas, but he had just won the Tour Championship. But that could also be a question, because his history in the Ryder Cup is not very good.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's, yeah, I think it took a while for Tiger to buy in, because he was so focused, you know, on becoming, you know, the best ever as an individual. And it took a while for him to buy in. I think he obviously is now. I think being that vice captain, assistant captain that he's been before really helped him kind of get into that team mode. But yeah, that's not been a great event for him. And you know, you get back to the captain's picks for the U.S. I'm pretty sure that we were 1-8 through Saturday
yep.
of our captain's picks. So, yeah, that speaks for itself.
Yeah, Tony Finau, was he the last captain's pick?
Correct.
Okay,
right.
He was the last. And I think he's been really good. And I think he's a really good, young, exciting player. I like watching him. I liked, in particular, how he fought back at the Masters. He played that par 3 tournament the day before and dislocated his ankle and
right.
was still in contention. And he's a very enthusiastic young kid. He may not be that young. I don't know. What is he, 26, 27, 28?
Yeah, he's in that range.
Yeah. So, and he went out today and just destroyed Tommy Fleetwood, who had an argument for player of the tournament going in. But Finau's been great. Are we seeing the last Ryder Cup for both Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods?
Well, you know, Phil will be 50 years old come the next one. Tiger, I'm not so sure. I mean, if he keeps playing like he did at the end this year, I think he's got at least one, maybe two more Ryder Cups. And if he turns 43 in December, I think he'll have at least one more if he stays healthy. You know, probably two if he stays healthy. So, and he'll be a captain down the road. I'm sure Phil will also. So, yeah, I kind of wonder, too, you know, with Phil, this may be having been his last one, if that played any role in, you know, Furyk thought, you know, he thought maybe Mickelson would really give it his best, which I'm sure he has tried to do, being what probably would be his last one, but it just hasn't turned out that way.
Talking with Howard Richman from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, I guess if you want to be positive about the future for the Americans, if this is indeed the end for Phil Mickelson, possibly Tiger Woods, but as we've seen, you can't count them out even after 5 years. But, you know, Bubba Watson, I don't know if he's around in a couple of years, because he's been awful, unless he earns his way in. He's been awful again. And some of the lineup combinations on Friday and Saturday just were head-scratchers for me. But if you're looking for positives for the American side, Bryson DeChambeau has played not good at times, but he doesn't. To me, he has not shrunk under the pressure, and he's playing well today, going head-to-head with Alex Noren, who's a terrific player. Patrick Reed has played okay after a couple of lousy rounds Friday and Saturday. Ricky Fowler, I still can't get a fix on. I really like him. I think he's a really good player, but sometimes doesn't come up in the big moment, but Justin Thomas has been great. Webb Simpson is a pleasant surprise. Tony Finau, I mentioned him. Jordan Spieth did not play well today, but the future for the Americans looks good, but it's going to be a very different team, I think, in 2 years.
Yeah, probably no question about it. I mean, it probably won't be Phil, I would guess for sure. And, you know, a lot of these guys, though, yeah, they're going to, it's a great experience for them, especially the younger guys with Justin Thomas. I mean, Justin Thomas is just fantastic. I mean, he just, and he's one of those guys that's going to kind of be the anchor of this team in the next 2-4 years down the road, I think. Him and Spieth. And I think most of them are going to be mainstays. I'm not sure about Bubba, if he will be. But, you know, the future looks good for them. But on the other side, too, you got young guys like John Rahm, and Fleetwood's not as young as he is. But they've got some great players, and they've got some players that are getting older, too, like Poulter. You know, how long is somebody like him going to be around? And Sergio. But Sergio rises to that occasion, and we need more guys to rise to that occasion, like the Ricky Fowlers and people like that, who just need to get over the hump, and not just in Ryder Cups, in major championships too, maybe give him that extra edge where he goes in a Ryder Cup and he feels a lot more sure about himself.
Yeah, so. You mentioned Sergio, and he's two up on Ricky Fowler through 14. So Sergio, after having a bad year by his standards, has come up in the moment time and time and time again. Howard, I appreciate your time so much. I wish we had some more positive things to say about Team USA, but it's still, I love watching the Ryder Cup. It's a lot of fun. I wish the U.S. would have been more competitive, but it's not their year. But I appreciate it, and try to enjoy what's left of the tournament today, okay?
You got it, Brad. Hey, and congrats on your Rockers beating the A's. What a game.
Oh, yeah, that was a terrific football game. It's 14-13. Both teams look really good. I think you could argue that either one is the best team on their respective sides of the state line. And Bishop Miege put on a great game day atmosphere over there. So my compliments to everybody at Bishop Miege as well. And it was just, it was great. It was a fantastic, they did a fantastic job. So appreciate it, Howard. Rock State.
you got it. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Howard Richmond from the Golf Course Superintendents Association. Always joins us for the big golf tournaments, including today's Ryder Cup. So good stuff from Howard. Good stuff. We're coming up on a timeout here. Still plenty more to come at 10 o'clock. Allie Trost from the Blue Testament will join us talking Sporting KC. They can lock up a playoff spot this afternoon at Children's Mercy Park. And then at 11 o'clock, Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, will get you ready for Monday Night Football in Denver. And at 11:30, Jed Lines, which is always a lot of fun. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, yeah. I got on a big The Doors kick. In college, after college, right all about that same time where I would just listen to The Doors 24/7.
The Doors are awesome. One of my buddies in college, one of my best friends still, he did the same thing. He's still on that Doors kick to this day. But, yeah, I got my first Doors CD when I was in seventh grade.
Yeah.
Explains a lot about the person I turned out to be.
It's a really dark song, but I like when the music's over. Turn out the lights.
Yeah.
I think it's alluding to something else that's very dark, but I just like the song. Riders on the Storm, I mean, I know it gets overplayed a lot, but I like it. And Val Kilmer in the movie The Doors, fantastic.
Yeah, really solid.
Golly, that was a great character. And everybody in that movie is just solid.
Turns out he wasn't a character. It was a real guy. It's Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
Real person.
Well, yes, he was playing a man, yes. So, yeah, good stuff on The Doors. By the way, this is Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. Also listen on the app through 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We're live in the Rally House studios. We just talked with Howard Richmond on our Sprint guest line. Howard from the Golf Course Superintendents Association about the Ryder Cup. Finishing thought on that, the U.S. needed 14 points to retain the cup. Got out to an okay start this morning. Looked like they were back in it. They were only down by one. But the latter one-on-one matchups are not going well. The Europeans lead 4 of the 6 remaining matches. Team USA is only leading 1, and that's Patrick Reed, 2 up through 13. And Bryson DeChambeau is all square with Alex Noren, so this is not going to end well. This is a bloodbath. It's awful. Unless you're a fan of Team Europe. Maybe you are. Connell McCourt, is he all?
I'm sure Connell's loving it.
Yeah.
I bet Connell's sleeping
Rory's
right now.
From Northern Ireland.
Yeah, he actually likes Rory. During the PGA Championship or was it the U.S. Open? Whichever Rory had a chance in, when Connell came into work that day, he was clapping
really
his hands.
He
I think he had a bottle of Jameson with him, too.
Boy, when you get to the Jameson part of the evening, you're going towards...
This was like 1 in the afternoon. Ooh, I think that's just par for the course in Ireland.
Well, go get it.
I'm teasing. Connell did not have a
If I ever had a shot of Jameson before 10 p.m., I would be in trouble. Not in a good way.
Yeah. Second that.
Yeah. One thing we did not talk about, we talked about college football and KU and K-State both being in these strange places with their quarterbacks. We did not get a chance to talk about the Royals, who have been an absolute joy to watch for the last month. It's been a blast. Whit Merrifield is probably going to get to the end of the day today, the final day of the regular season, leading the American League in stolen bases and hits. That's right. Whit Merrifield. And I tweeted out last night, I was replying to Cody Tapp, host of Sports Night, most nights here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Tweeted back to Cody Tapp, you know, he barely makes above the major league minimum, okay? And I don't feel sorry for anybody who makes roughly $550,000. No sympathy here. But, you know, the Royals took care of Salvador Perez a few years ago after they signed him to that, to put it kindly, a club-friendly contract. They took advantage of his agent, Salvi, and he signed a bad deal. But he put his name on it. They corrected that. Now, I don't think Dayton Moore and the Royals should go up to Whit Merrifield and give him a four-year, $60 million deal. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying reward the kid, because I don't believe he's even arbitration eligible next year. But let's reward the kid. He's going to lead the league in stolen bases 2 years in a row. He'll likely get to the end of the day today, leading the league in stolen bases and hits. He's got his second 19-game hitting streak of the season. He's done everything you've asked. Second base, center field. Has he played first base?
He has.
He has played first base. He's done everything, and he's been valuable everywhere he's been. Well, they were waiting for Alberto Mondesi to get ready to come up. So he had to play a little second base. And he gets moved around, wherever. I'm not saying give him a $60 million contract. I'm saying what based on the numbers, what's a fair number? I mean, you have to factor in age. He's getting towards that 30-year-old status. What's a fair number, in your opinion, Jed? I'll give you my opinion.
I don't know. 4 years, $35 million.
See, that's where I'm having a problem with the length of the contract.
You're buying up his prime years. If you sign him, I think he's 27, 28.
You'd buy out arbitration and three free agent years?
Mm-hmm.
It would be three arbitration years, pardon me.
So, I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. I think that's reasonable.
I'm saying somewhere in the $3 to $4 million a season range. I mean, he probably plays like a guy who makes $10 to $12 million, honestly. But yeah. You're not going to give a guy who's at his age that much money. But I think $3 to $4 million a year is fair.
I think that's low. But if the Royals do decide to extend him, just think, I mean, for people who think that the Royals are as far away as they are, you at least have second base and short covered for a little while.
Right. Speaking of shortstop, Alberto Mondesi, who couldn't get on this team for a while, continues to rake. What is that? Gosh, I just lost the number 14th home run last night. Second most on the team. And he just got here on June 17th. And that big three-run shot last night was off Andrew Miller. Wanted to flip him over to the right side. Well, he flipped it over the wall about 430 feet. Great stuff, Alberto Mondesi. All right, plenty more still to come on the show at 11 o'clock. Matt Derrick will join us, talk Chiefs football. Matt from ChiefsDigest.com will get you set for Monday Night Football. Coming up next at 10, Allie Trost from the Blue Testament will join us. Sporting KC a chance to clinch a playoff spot this afternoon at Children's Mercy Park. So we'll talk with Allie coming up next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We are live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.